Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
All right, church, I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning. Join me in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to spend time, not only this week, but over the next number of weeks together. And I'm excited about this series called I Love My Church. Now, I don't want to just title a series that. I want us to love our church. So after we get done today, and after we get done over the next few weeks, I hope that once again, maybe you need to be ignited once again with a love for the church. See, the truth is, Jesus loves the church. So much so that he laid his life down and that he promised that his church would be built. He promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. We have a unique privilege, a unique opportunity to be able to be a part of God's church here at North River. And so as we spend time in Acts chapter 2 over the next number of weeks together in this series called I Love My Church, my prayer is that it will challenge us to love Jesus, to love this group of believers that God has assembled here, to love our community, to love the nations that need to hear about Jesus. I want to ask you, as you're making your way to Acts chapter 2, to be honest with me for just a bit. Now, some of you, that just kind of weirds you out a little bit. Don't want to be honest in church, right? Not sure about that. Don't want to be too transparent. Don't want everybody to know kind of what we're dealing with. But this will be an easy question for you. How many of you have ever wasted money on a gym membership? Just in solidarity, raise your hand if that's been you at some point, right? Wasted money on a gym membership. I mean, you thought, you really did in your mind, you thought, if I will get a gym membership, then I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to get healthy, and you thought, I'm going to dive in, and you jump in, and you get a membership, and you go for January, right? And we're in February heading into March, and you're thinking, you know, I really ought to go back. They probably don't remember me. I had a friend of mine who owned a gym, and that's what he said. I asked him, I said, you know, tell me about your business model. What are you guys trying to accomplish? And he said, it's really easy. He said, we want people to buy the gym membership and then not come. He's like, that's the best of both worlds. We get their money, and then the equipment doesn't get used, so it stays together like it's supposed to. So some of us have done that. How many of you have ever bought a piece of exercise equipment because you thought, I know better, I'm not going to go to the gym, but I can bring the gym to me. You bought a treadmill or an elliptical machine or a Stairmaster or a Bowflex machine, right? And you thought, if I have this piece of equipment at my home, that I'm going to use it and I'm going to get in shape. And it turned into a place to hang your clothes, right? How many of you have been there? Just be honest. We all want to jump in together, right? Or maybe you bought a pair of running shoes and you had this conversation. You thought, you know, my shoes aren't very good, but if I spend $135 on a pair of running shoes and I get some running shorts and I need a hat and some good headphones, then I'm going to run and we're going to get in shape. You know, the funny thing is that psychologists look and they realize that what's interesting about us is we get in our minds this thing that we want to do, and the energy release of buying the gym membership or buying the piece of equipment or buying shoes or something like that gives us the same effect as if we actually exercise. So you don't exercise, right? You don't go to the gym. But what changes if you actually do? If you actually buy that piece of equipment or you buy that gym membership, what changes if you're actually devoted to going or devoted to exercising? What happens? You start to see results. And if you stick with it long enough, maybe you even enjoy it. Maybe you start to recognize what you could feel like if you exercise consistently, if you were devoted, to going to the gym. What's going to be interesting in our text this morning as we look at Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, I want to read through verse 47, and I want us to see what's going on in the early church, and we'll bring a little bit of context to it after we read the text and pray together, and then we're going to dive in to just the first couple of verses in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. This is what we read in God's Word. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Father, we ask this morning that as we unpack your word together, you would open our eyes that we would be able to see. That you would open our ears that we would be able to hear. Father, that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit this morning. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you notice where we are in Acts chapter 2. I want to bring you up to speed from Acts chapter 1 and the first part there of Acts chapter 2 so that we're all on the same page. We're all understanding exactly where we are in the life of the early church. You see, Jesus in Luke's gospel, who's also the writer here of the book of Acts, Luke had told all that Jesus began to do and began to teach. He shined a spotlight on Jesus's ministry on the earth. He shined a spotlight on Jesus laying his life down so that people would receive salvation. And he is looking forward in Acts chapter 1 to Jesus leaving the scene. And so he talks about, in Acts chapter 1, Luke does, Jesus's last days with his disciples. And that Jesus had left his disciples with a mission, with a great commission, that they were to make disciples of all nations, that they were to share the gospel, that they were to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ, and they were to take them and teach them all that Jesus had commanded so that they too would go out and make disciples. And we see Jesus leave his disciples with that commission, with that charge, with that mission that they were to give their lives to. And then Jesus leaves this earth, and he ascends into heaven to be with the Father. And interestingly, his disciples do what we would have done. Mouths wide open, looking up. The one that they had given their lives to follow is now gone. And the angels have to remind them, "What are you looking for? Don't you know that Jesus is going to return and you have a mission that you need to be about as his disciples?" And so they gather together and they begin praying, been asking God to do a work. And we see in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit come and shake things up in an incredible way. The gospel is preached by Peter in Acts chapter 2, and we are closing out Acts chapter 2 right before these verses that we just read with 3,000 people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Now that is an amazing thing. Just imagine with me, if you will, for a moment, if 3,000 people in our community, as a result of us as a church living out the truth of the gospel in our own lives and sharing with them the good news of what Jesus can do in their lives, and 3,000 people in our community trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and come to North River Church. Oh, it'd be amazing. And then we'd have to figure out, what do we do with everybody, right? But I want you to notice what happens here, beginning in verse 42. After these 3,000 souls come to faith in Jesus Christ, trust Jesus for salvation, it says in verse 42 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. What we're going to do in the next few weeks together is we're going to take verses 42 through 47, and like you would hold a diamond and you would turn it and see something in it just a little bit different, we're going to do that in the text this morning. Now, let me say this to you. There are times when what we do as we unpack God's Word is we may take a large section of Scripture and seek to understand the narrative of what God is doing. And so we'll unpack that larger section of Scripture and maybe get more of a 30,000-foot view. And then sometimes we'll take just a paragraph and we will unpack that together and we'll get more details and more up close. And then there's moments like what we're going to experience over the next 4 weeks together where we're going to get down in the weeds of the text. And we're going to begin to just shed pieces of what God would say to us and begin to hold it up and to look and to understand and wonder, what could God do in the life of North River Church and in our lives individually if, like the early church, we were absolutely devoted to these things that we're going to see that they were devoted to? If you're taking notes this morning, this is what I want you to write down. The early church was devoted to, number one, the apostles' teaching. That's right there in verse 42. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, what exactly does that mean that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching? Well, you got to remember, up until this point, the church is just birthed onto the scene. And so Scripture that they have in hand would have been the Old Testament and then the words of Jesus that had been written down at that point. And so when the Bible says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, they were looking at what these men who had walked with Jesus were saying about what Jesus had taught during his earthly ministry, coupled with what God had revealed of himself throughout the Old Testament, and that's what they were devoting themselves to. See, the truth is, this early church had a hunger for God's Word that could never be satisfied. I want you to think about that for just a minute. Would you say that's true about your life? Would you say that it's true about your life that you have such a hunger, such a desire to hear God's Word as it's taught, to be involved in a life group, in a small group where God's Word is unpacked, to personally spend time in God's Word so that you learn more of who He is, you hear more of what Christ has done, and you're wowed once again by what God has revealed of Himself in His Word. See, the truth for this early church is that They wanted to know more of what Christ had done, and it transformed the way that they lived their lives. Let me just wonder with us, practically speaking, what does that look like for us today to be devoted to God's Word? To the teaching of the early apostles, to God's Word as recorded in Scripture, what would it look like for you and for I to be absolutely devoted to God's Word? Well, certainly our gathering here, as we gather as a church corporately on Sundays, I can assure you, every single week, without fail, you don't have to wonder what book are we going to open up. We are always, 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 as long as I'm your pastor, going to open God's Word every single week and ask what He would say about who He is and how we should live. Every single week. I know Pastor Scott's heart as he leads in worship, as we sing together, we are going to sing truths about who God is and what He's done found in the Word. As we gather together, we are devoting ourselves to God's Word. You see, we are convinced, I am convinced, and church, I hope you are convinced that the only thing that is promised that will not return void but will accomplish everything that it's meant to accomplish is God's Word in our lives. We have assurance of that. And so when we gather together, we can devote ourselves to God's Word, which means for us, if we're going to devote ourselves to God's Word, and we do that partially through gathering together as a corporate body of believers on Sundays, the question in our lives should not be, well, am I going to go to church this Sunday or not? No, the question should be, have we set our alarm? Because we want to get there. I mean, there's this hunger. I want to hear God's Word unpacked. I want to sing God's Word and praise to Him. I want to gather with other believers whose heartbeat is to hear God's Word. That's where I want to be. Why would we not want to be at church on Sunday? And yet, church, unfortunately, what we see statistics is that people are attending church less and less often. In fact, if you look at the stats, people who used to come to church 4 Sundays a month, 5 if there's a 5th Sunday, used to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, are backing off a bit. And listen, I understand. Sometimes you're sick. Sometimes you're on vacation. But my fear, church, is that at least in American contemporary culture, that there's so many other things that vie for our attention, that instead of gathering together as a corporate body and hearing God's Word taught and singing praises to God from His Word, we've instead committed to so many other things that have become priorities in our life that we are not devoted like we see that this early church was devoted. And so I want to challenge you not to ask the question, are we going to church on Sunday? But for it to be a given, we're going to church on Sunday. Growing up, I never asked my parents that question. In fact, there was never an option. There was never a, well, are we going to go to church this Sunday or not? I joke, I had a drug problem growing up. My parents drug me to church. They did. I'm telling you, we were at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday. But listen, parents, I want you to hear me. In being there, I heard God's Word constantly. Praise God for the teachers who, when I was in second and third grade, would teach God's Word. On Wednesday night when we would gather, they would teach God's Word. when I was a teenager that there were people who were willing to hang around teenagers, which is an amazing thing, okay? Praise God for those who are working with our students, but who are willing to teach God's word. And so, parents, let me challenge you. Don't ask the question, should we have our kids at church on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday nights? It should be a given in our lives that we want our kids to be where they're going to hear God's word unpacked constantly. And for us, maybe that means we need to rearrange some priorities. Maybe we need to change the way we do things. Because I'm absolutely convinced the way in which we schedule our families' lives speaks volumes to our kids. And if we schedule our lives in such a way that church is just kind of a add-on to what we do and everything else is really more important, and when it's time for other things to be done, that church gets the back seat, our kids see that and they take notes. And we'll wonder one day why our kids are not plugged into church, and the very well truth may be that it's because of what we did when they were growing up. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to God's word. For you this morning, maybe that means that you need to plug into a life group, a small group. So not only do we gather here corporately and we sit in rows and you look here and we sing and I teach God's word, but you need to sit in a circle with other people in a smaller group and you get to talk about God's word together. You get to unpack God's word and see what he says in his word. If you're not plugged into a life group, I want to encourage you to jump in. We'd love to get you plugged in. Your growth as a believer will be enhanced fourfold by moving from just sitting in here in this room to gathering with other believers in a smaller group and studying God's word together. And then if we press even further than that, just individually in our own lives personally, if we will spend time on our own in God's word, it is amazing how transformation takes place in our life the more we spend time in God's word. This early church, this group of believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to God's word. Not only that, the early church was devoted to fellowship. Now you're thinking, I like that one. They devoted themselves not only to God's word, but to fellowship, to gathering together. Not only as they gathered together as a corporate body of believers like what we're doing right now, but even outside of environments like this, to where they developed deep and abiding friendship with other believers so that they could encourage one another and spur one another on to good works, so that they could wrap their arms around others when they were mourning, so that they could kick them in the pants when they needed it every once in a while. Any of you ever need that? But they devoted themselves to God's word. They devoted themselves to fellowship. You know, it's interesting that a lot of churches used to build entire facilities for fellowship so that they could gather together outside of the normal corporate time of worship, but so that they could be together. I just want us to remember, I want us to be reminded this morning of the fact that we live in such an individualistic society. Let's all be honest, we could all probably go home from here this morning, pull into our home, into a garage, shut the garage door, and not have to interact with anyone else. Some of you are like, that's why I moved where I moved, right? I even got a gate out front. Nobody can come. But listen, we were created for community. We were created to interact with one another. We were created to live lives together. In fact, the early church, they lived life together. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, but they were devoted to fellowship. Listen, they actually wanted to be together. They wanted to encourage one another. They wanted to love on one another. One of the things I love about North River is we love to be together. Now, I'm going to just be honest with you. There's some churches that's not the case. Some of you have been a part of those, and you're like, I don't really like anybody there, but my family's always gone, so we got to go, right? But we gather together. We love one another. We want to be together. I love how that plays out in our life groups, how we're able to do life with other people, how we're able to go deeper with other people, how we're able to encourage one another and challenge one another. And it's an amazing thing when believers gather together to fellowship with one another. This early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship. I want you to notice the third truth. The early church was devoted to breaking of bread. Now, some of you are thinking in your mind, potluck. Amen, right? And certainly that's part of it. But probably the primary emphasis is that they would gather together and they would celebrate the Lord's Supper together, but they would also celebrate meals together. In fact, they would gather together and eat with one another. They would spend time with one another. It's amazing, isn't it, that you talk more openly sitting at a meal than you do anywhere else. In fact, when you invite someone in your home and they sit with you at the kitchen table, I don't know about your family, but in my family, that's where life happens, at the kitchen table. It's where we talk with our girls about what's going on in their lives. It's where we talk with them about the difficulties they may have walked through this day in school. The relationships that they're trying to figure out, how do we work through? And as we invite people over, it's where we get to talk about life, what's going on with them. In fact, this early church, not only did they celebrate the Lord's Supper together and they were reminded of what Jesus had done for them on the cross, they celebrated that fact as they gathered together corporately, but then they gathered in homes together. Let me just ask, when was the last time you invited someone over to your home just so that you could spend time over a meal with them? Just so that you could open your home and get to know them? That you could hear their heart? That you could hear what God's doing in their life, in their family? I hear stories of our life groups as they do that. As they meet together and they share a meal together and they talk and they encourage one another, they spend time together. What an encouraging thing it is to hear that. But they fellowshiped together, they broke bread together. And then it says the fourth truth, the early church was devoted to praying. The early church was devoted to praying. Certainly they prayed together corporately as we do, but they also prayed together as smaller groups and in houses together, but even individually they spent time in prayer. I'm convinced, church, that we don't see God move in power sometimes in the way that we would love to see Him move because we think we can do it all on our own. We think in our minds that if we can craft a good enough worship service, that we can craft a good enough children's ministry, that if we can craft a good enough church. If we can do it on our own, then we'll see God move. Listen, church, God spoke in His Word through a donkey one time. Certainly, that's not refined. What we may miss if we're not careful is God's power at work because we're solely dependent on our own strength. But church, in prayer is where we humble ourselves before the Lord and where we say to Him, we want You to move in the only way that You can move. See, church, I'm convinced that if we can do what we want to do ministry-wise, if we can do what we want to do in terms of a building on our own strength, if we could do it without God, we're going to miss what God wants to do. We're going to miss what God wants to do. That's true for us as a church. That's true for you and your own family. It is absolutely amazing when we humble ourselves before the Lord in prayer and God shows up that we look back and we say, I'd have never dreamed that. I'd have never imagined that happening. We spend time praying for people that we look at and we wonder, is God ever going to save them? Is God ever going to transform their life? And we spend years and years and years praying for them. And all of a sudden, God transforms this person's life. And we look back and go, oh my gosh, only God could have done that. Church, I want us to look back 20 years from now together and say, we would have never dreamed about doing what we're doing right now. God did this. It begins, church, on our knees in prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to breaking of bread. They devoted themselves to prayer. Look at verse 43. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. What if every single one of us who calls North River Church home, what if we devoted ourselves to God's Word? What if we devoted ourselves to fellowship together? What if we devoted ourselves to breaking bread together? What if we devoted ourselves to prayer together? What if we were so devoted to those things that it filled every single one of us with awe of who God is and what He's done? And that we began to see God do things that can only be explained that He showed up. That, church, is what the early church experienced. That's what they saw God do. And church, I'm convinced that part of them seeing God do that was that they devoted themselves to these four things that we saw in the text this morning. I want to ask you if you bow your heads and close your eyes with me, and as we transition to a time of invitation together, I want to give you an opportunity to respond this morning to God's Word, give you an opportunity to respond to His Spirit at work in your heart and in your life today. As you sit there with heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll just take an inventory this morning and ask yourself just the simple question, am I devoted to those four things that we talked about this morning? Am I devoted to God's word? Am I devoted to fellowship? Am I devoted to breaking bread together? Am I devoted to prayer? In fact, maybe you're here this morning, and as we've talked about what this early church experienced, as we've talked about what they were doing, you're maybe wondering, man, what would cause someone to do that? And there's only one answer. They had met Jesus. And for you this morning, that may need to be your step. It's trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, of trusting His death and His resurrection, that He paid for your sin on the cross. Maybe you need this morning to once again devote yourself to God's Word, to coming and gathering together week in and week out, committing once again to rearrange your priorities in such a way that there's not a question of, are we going? But you are here and you're worshiping. You're responding to His Word. Your kids are under the teaching of God's Word week in and week out. Dive into a life group. Personally, spending time in God's Word. Maybe this morning you need to devote yourself once again to His Word. Maybe you need to devote yourself once again to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to opening your home, to gathering with other believers, encouraging one another, doing life together. Maybe you need to devote yourself once again to time in prayer, to asking God to do what only He can do, for Him to move in power, for Him to move as He transforms lives in our community, as we lift the name of Jesus up. Father, we ask this morning that You would speak to our hearts, and that we would be faithful to respond to You. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.